Okay. Here we go. Let's pull into the power that brought us here and keeps us here. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, this thought brings us to step 10, which is that we continue to take personal inventory and write any new mistakes as we go along. So I'd like to start out with a warranty, a guarantee. If you're not doing step 10, or you're not doing step 10 on a regular basis, I will make you a guarantee that if you start doing the 10th step on a regular basis, it'll absolutely revolutionize your life. How's that for a guarantee? It's a good guarantee. Let's take a look at the Tai Chi of this step. I say that stuff, and I had somebody come up after a meeting and say, now, how do I do the Tai Chi of this stuff? So I'll stop being all whatever, and let's talk about the pulling this, the actual movements of this apart. So what happens many times is we worked so hard in our program to get through our first 9 steps that we're like ready to take a vacation. You know, thank God I got that done. Okay, I'm on cruise control. Not so much. Because in their wisdom, the people who put this program together know that you don't leave an alcoholic alone. We've got things we need to do to stay in touch with the power that we've been given. Let's read the 9th step promises before we get into it. At the bottom of 83, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, meaning our 9th step, amends, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. A hell of a lot of promises going on here. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. This is worth fighting for. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's a pretty good deal. It's worth fighting for, and it's true. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Watch this. I was told by this guy, and I thought it was very interesting, early on in my sobriety, that if anything, the big book is understatement. Understatement. They're just kind of telling us this thing in a murmur. But when they say they will always, then they're raising the temperature a little bit here, emphasizing it. They will always materialize if we work for them. This isn't somebody else's program. This isn't for somebody else. It's for you and me. This is our book. This is our program. This is not somebody who put together Group X and he's been at it for 50 years. That's not who this is for. This is for us. And the highest title we can get in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is member. That's it. All in all, we're just another brick in the wall. It's true, right? There's no senior this and junior that, just so we know. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Now, what do we do with step 10? Here's the directions. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Continue to watch for does not mean we react to it when we get hit between the eyes like a 2x4 with what's going down. We're watching for. Okay? When these crop up, not if, we ask God when? At once, to remove them. We discuss them with somebody when? Immediately. And make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So here's what I think our egos typically do with this. We'll go along with everything until it comes down with which sentence, do you suppose? Which move? We discuss them with somebody immediately. Now we got to cut somebody else in, and we're on the self-help program here, so we're just going to work this for us, and it doesn't work. So we discuss it with somebody immediately. Well, hell, the ego says, I'd be on the phone all day long. I got a job to do. A rhythm gets established, is all I can say. A rhythm gets established in watching for these things and reacting to these things. And we know when we pick up that phone. If we can't because we're at work, call somebody right then. We'll do it as immediately as we can. Right? But we need to talk to somebody. Now, we can talk to our sponsors. I presume that our sponsor is open to hearing this and available. But is there a circle of people that you could put together or belong to where you can call them and they understand that you're going to talk to them about what bothers you when you've watched for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear? And incidentally, it doesn't say here, you better get really serious spiritual feedback or your 10-step doesn't count. It's not like that. The fact that we are talking about this is the benefit we can get. Now, I can tell you that on the other side of that call, what we think is a broken shoelace moment in our lives, it's nothing. We don't need to 10-step this, but we do it anyway. That broken shoelace, what happens in a 10-step is we are presenting snapshots of our soul's condition. This is where I am currently. Here's a snapshot. And our sponsor may react to that and say, wow, you know, because I've been listening to you for 8 years, and I know you. If we put what you just 10-step together with what I know about you, look at the picture it creates, and you have an opportunity to get a deeper understanding of where you are. Does that make sense? So that can be really, from a sponsorship standpoint, it can be a very useful tool to help somebody because we now see what's going on. And so those are the directions. They're fairly simple on a regular basis. But there are other directions. Wait, there's more. And it goes on to say amazing things about where we are in a position of neutrality as far as drinking is concerned. It goes even this far. We've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. That's pretty overstated. Okay. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We don't sit on them. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So if these are thoughts that must go with us constantly, I've made a recommendation that maybe to get into harness on this thing and get into practice, if you have a digital watch, it'll sound the hour. And you can just say, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Just to get a practice going. It's just a thought. So the unexamined life is not worth living. So here we go. I can back up all the hard work that I've just done in the first 9 steps by not continuing to take personal inventory and making amends and clearing up these things as we go along. It's hard to do this because again and again, we count alcoholism out of our picture of ourselves. We think we can just step up and go do this thing. Or as my sponsor Cookie once told me, Mickey, you think you can think anything you want. It's not true. Watch out. So we have to be careful. And we have to, if we practice this thing, you will not believe what happens. I have a great position in my life because my wife's in Al-Anon for 42 years and I 10-step with her all the time. And she 10-steps with me. It does not have to be our sponsor. But as we were talking with Jessica, where's Jessica? There you are. We want to be able to have that language together. We want to be able to talk to each other in terms of the path that we are both walking. So Marie understands the path I'm on and I understand the path she's on. Now, if it concerns her, I talk to my sponsor. I don't have the right to get well at anybody else's expense. Then if we need to talk about something, we can talk about it. All right, so it's laid out pretty well. That's the deal. You're up.
I can just absolutely second and speak to the fact that what Mickey says about exercising the 10-step on a regular and a consistent basis will revolutionize your life, right? I've experienced that firsthand. And I think it may be relevant and partially entertaining to maybe just review what a 10-step looked like to me at one point in time. Because it wasn't always like this. The book gives very clear directions on how to conduct this from an execution standpoint, right? Like, it tells me exactly what I need to do. Somewhere in the mix, though, I made my own rules. And what I would do is I had a few people that I would call and essentially just unload in their ear for as long as they'd listen and then hang up and be like, thanks for listening. You know, there was no mention of resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, fear. There was none of that. I was basically looking to get someone to sign off on what it was that I was bringing to the table, right? And I remember when there were times when people would actually try to offer me feedback, and I would just hang up. Nope, no thanks. Nope, this is not a truth session here. I'm just calling to say this. I'm doing my part. I'm going to go back to being mad now, basically, is what that looked like. I mean, that's the truth. And something clicked with me once because I, you know, we'd do that to each other. I had another person. There was a man, he was a great friend of mine. He still is to some extent. Things have changed, though, you know. Things have changed quite a bit. And there are a few things as terrifying and as shocking as drifting away from what was once an AA family. It's kind of not necessarily tied to the 10-step, but it just reminded me of that. Like, as we grow and continue to change and develop and pursue God, doesn't necessarily mean everybody we started on the path with is going to be at the same place on the path. Mm-hmm. And it's a really tough place to be in. Some people disappear. Some people just don't want to go there. Whatever the case may be, but we can't, like it says in here about taking an inventory, we can't fool ourselves about values, right? I can't pretend that something is what it's not, especially if I'm paying a price tag for it. because I'll do that a lot of the time. I want to hang on to what was once this way and never actually face the truth that it's changed, right? And it's amazing. Like, the people that I was just like brothers with when I first got into Alcoholics Anonymous, almost all of them I've drifted apart from. And it's, I don't like that, but it's the truth. And it's not because I decided I wanted to remove myself from them. It's just that was the direction that things went, right? I don't dislike them as people. I'm still friendly with them. But there's something to be said for being able to have a vulnerable, honest conversation with someone that knows you're on the same page, right? I know when someone's speaking to me from their heart, and I'm pretty sure someone else can feel it when I'm speaking to them from my heart. And to not have that, it just feels fraudulent to me, right? So I don't pretend that that I want to have intimacy with individuals that I don't feel necessarily connected to. I mean, a lot of the time, where is this even coming from? Nothing to do with the 10 step, but I think it's relevant. There was a time where I would actually challenge myself to try to be more vulnerable with people, just people. And that could backfire quickly, right? Like, I don't have to be transparent and vulnerable with everyone. In fact, I recommend against it. If I've got one, two, a couple, maybe even a handful of people that I can trust, that's more than a lifetime's worth, right? Because I got into this. Has anyone ever heard of steel on steel as an exercise? So this was an excellent story. What's that? Yeah. So basically, you get into a room with a bunch of men and you're telling each other your darkest secrets, right? So I get an invitation from someone I hated more than anybody in Alcoholics Anonymous to come and do this vulnerable exercise with. And I'm like, I think that'd be good for me, you know? Put me into a place to be more vulnerable with people I don't really want to be vulnerable with. It was the worst, like, month, you know, few months of my life. I hated every minute of it. I dreaded going. And I walked away feeling like I had been almost stripped of a piece of my soul, right? Have you ever had the experience where you share something with someone and you just feel like, that wasn't the right outlet for that, right? That was not the right, they didn't need to hear that. And I almost feel incriminated now, like they took a piece of me that I don't want them to have. It's a scary feeling, actually. So, back to the original piece, this man had called me, and I was running on down to work, and I'm, you know, listening to him, whatever he had to say. And then I respond, because he was like a peer, right? Back then it was like, we got to know where we're at on the pecking order here. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't sponsee. It was, we were peers. So I offered him feedback, and he's like, I didn't know we were having a truth session here, right? Are you my sponsor? And right then and there I realized, boy, that felt weird. Yeah. Something's wrong here, right? And that was kind of around the same time where everything started to just change in my life, and the 10-step was reintroduced to me in a way that was, I'd never exercised it before. So just the sharing of it, not from the place that the book describes, for me isn't very effective. In fact, it can actually just add fuel to the fire in a lot of instances when I'm angry or when I'm afraid, mm-hmm. when I'm being dishonest or when I'm being selfish. So I just think it was really interesting to kind of have the experience of basically making my own rules for the 10th step and then actually seeing what the book had to say. The book does it much better. That's for sure. Yeah. You want to do it now?
Yeah.
I'll bounce back.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. So if I have a sponsee relationship with somebody, I expect when they call me, they've called me with a 10th step. Now, they can call and say, how are you doing? But mostly it's not like that, right? Sometimes Nate and I will do that, but a lot of times it's like, I tell people, you got friends, maybe. You got family. Now you have a sponsor. And so when you call your sponsor, we can really get you spiritual benefit. If you will talk about what's going on in your life, in what I hope is a safe place for you to do it. And I want to hear the four things. So tell me the four things. So what happens? That becomes a discipline. So when they call, because here's what's happening, there may be more than one or two people in your life that want to talk to you. And if you can be efficient in helping them to get spiritual benefit, you've loved them in the best way you can love them. You help them gain a foot up on the ladder. Fair enough. So I just wanted to put that out there. When I call my sponsor, and I love it when I can tell when a sponsee does not really want to do the work. I'll say, hi, how are you doing? I'm fine, how are you doing? I'm not here to talk about you. You called me, Jack. Talk to me. Talk to me about what's going on in your life. And it's not to dominate somebody. It's not a domination move. It's, I'm telling you, we have this opportunity. I ask people to write their fourth step, for instance. And here's why I say, please write this fourth step like this is the last spiritual move you are going to be able to make on earth before you get hit by a crosstown bus. That you will never get to fifth step this. Get that honest with it. You know what I'm saying? All of these things are for us to grow in and to be well and to be healed in. So, thanks. Go ahead, please.
That's great, and it's extremely relevant. And for me, a lot of the time, it doesn't necessarily have to be a half an hour production to have a 10-step with my sponsor. In fact, it can be a 5-minute conversation in a lot of instances, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean, also because what it says, right, is obviously we continue to watch for these four things. We watch for them. We make it a point. And for what I have is because I don't carry a pad of paper and a pen. Every smartphone on planet Earth has a notepad in it, right? So I use that. I literally have a rolling log in my notepad that is my 10-step list. As things come up through the day, I'm keeping track of them. Mm. Because it's not always a situation where I can break away from whatever it is that I'm doing and just call and do the 10-step, especially if it's something that doesn't have, like, I'm not on fire with, right? It's not just eating my lunch. Because there are times where things come up in my days where I can't move on. I'm literally so blocked off from what's going on. I'm so riddled with whatever, resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. All of the above, usually, if it's a barn burner like that. And I literally need to remove myself from my day and do exactly what it says. We speak with someone immediately, right? But that's not always the case, right? When we talk on Tuesday nights, I usually have a list of things that I've kept throughout the course of the week. In the nature and the spirit of efficiency and honoring everyone's time, it's the way it works best, right? But I can't fool myself because I've done that, right? I've been in a day where something comes up and I'm just like, I pull a 180. I'm, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I flip the switch. All of a sudden, I'm just losing my mind. And it's impossible for me to move on with my day with any kind of grace, right? I'm just too blocked off. So in that situation, I need to absolutely, right, ask God at once to remove this. Discuss it immediately and then resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help, right? It's so important. Because it's almost like a mini, you know, it's like the meat of our program, right? It's like 4 through 9 in a hurry, right? I'm doing all of it in the course of that 10-step. And I mean, I minimized this part of the program for years. And I just cannot reiterate enough how much it's revolutionized my life and how much it's lowered my threshold for pain in my days, which for me is a good thing. If something feels sideways, if something feels a little off, right? And there are instances, too, where I'm not necessarily sure, right? Maybe I don't have the right answer to bring to the conversation when I call my sponsor. Maybe I just know I'm really mad. I'm not sure about the other ones because I'm so spun about it. And I've realized that that's okay too, right? I can call and present what I've been able to find on my own and then hopefully bounce it around to the point that I'm able to get to the underlying truth. And that's the benefit we have from talking with someone that's objectively viewing the situation. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I'm emotionally invested in something, I'm not necessarily looking for the truth right off the bat. It's usually the last thing I'm doing, right? And I do give it my best effort because my life's on the line here, right? I mean, the day-to-day situations that come up, and I feel like I've talked with multiple people about this throughout the course of the weekend, we are very much willing and able and excited about handling these boulders in our lives that come up, right? I can handle tragedy. I can't handle inconvenience, right? It's the little things. It's the things that if I wasn't exercising my 10th step and being vigilant and asking God to help me to be working my program, really is what it comes down to. Am I going to work my program or not? Am I going to exercise my 10th step or am I not? It's the little things. It's unbelievable. Because again, the tragedy, real easy to deal with. Someone dies, sure, I'll take care of it, right? And but it's like, it's the little things. It's the pebble at the bottom of the shoe, right? It's just kind of rubbing me the wrong way. It's something that in my past life, I would say, that's completely irrelevant and not even necessary. Again, I'm busting out the gauge of what is relevant and what is not as it pertains to the freedom of my soul and my connection to God. It makes no sense. I don't have the authority to do such a thing. Because more often than not, there will be times where I'll call with a 10th step that I deem... the word I used to use was petty. This is really petty. I don't even know why I'm calling about it. I'm embarrassed, actually. And I was kind of gently reminded that there is no such thing as petty. What it says here is that we watch for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. It doesn't specify what it has to be, right? If I experience any one of those four things, it's relevant and it's available to a 10th step. Whether or not I exercise that option is on me. But a lot of the time I get into that place where this is not necessary, right? This is just, I'm a human being. This is a human reaction. None of my reactions are human, right? I have alcoholic reactions to just about everything in my life. And there's no better way for me to cause havoc than to push something back down inside me that I know for a fact needs to come out. It's like I said last night when we look, and this is not, sometimes the 10th step can actually, I find more often than not for some reason that it can actually be confused with a nightly review, right? When we do our nightly review, we ask the questions, we look at the second half of the 11th step. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about spot check throughout the day, being conscious of what I'm doing and being willing to be just as, I mean, I want my slate to be clean. Like this 10th step, exercised the way that we're discussing has absolutely changed my life, 100%, if not more than that, actually. I stand by it. It's just unbelievable the amount of time that I pushed it aside as like an optional step. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't nearly at the top. It wasn't necessary. I'd do it if, you know, things got bad enough or whatever. To where if I don't now, I literally just feel like I'm lying about something. I know I am, right? Funny story, that when I first got into, I got tasked with starting to keep track of my 10 steps throughout the week, right? And my very first week that I came back after having, I was supposed to be keeping the list, I came back and said, it's a good week. I've got nothing on the list, right? It's just a good week. I was still in like impress my sponsor mode. And we had just hooked up a couple months before, you know? So I wanted to really make sure I was making a good impression and having an empty list, right? Because, and let me just clarify, my alcoholic mind says, once you have nothing to talk about or deal with, you've made it, right? And let me also clarify that that is completely backwards, right? If my list is full, I've made it, right? That means I'm working my program. That means I'm being vigilant and keeping an eye on these things and being willing to bring them to the table. It's not the other way around. And he asked me, what were you doing just before this? I was like, I was actually helping a guy, a neighbor. He had a ladder that was like, I don't know, 100 feet tall with no kind of rope or anything. And he was climbing to the top to dig out his gutters. And he asked me to hold the bottom of it. I'm just waiting for this guy to flip off the back of this thing, right? And even that, completely necessary of a 10th step. I was scared to death. And relying on myself to literally preserve this guy's life in that moment, right? Seems like in a lot of the times, like, what? Dude, you're thinking that's a stretch. That's a little too much, right? But the reality for me is it was necessary. It was relevant. Because in that moment, I was paralyzed with fear, right? I was relying on myself to be sure things worked out the way I wanted them to. Was there good motive involved? Sure, yeah. But it doesn't mean I still didn't experience some of that stuff on the inside. And dishonest, first and foremost. And a lot of the dishonesty isn't like cash register honesty. It's not like I'm lying to you. A lot of the dishonesty is what I'm telling myself about the situation. Or as it relates to selfishness, one of my favorite pieces of selfishness, apparently, is to avoid and just pretend like things don't exist. to kick things under the rug, to bury my head in the sand. That's what I do. In fact, inaction for me is just as destructive to my soul as action in a lot of instances. For me not to do, for me to avoid, because I'm scared to death, right? What if I need to have an uncomfortable conversation with someone I sponsor, right? I know for a fact that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but I want them to like me, right? I don't want to ruffle their feathers. I don't want to just have that uncomfortable conversation, but I agreed to do it. And a lot of the time I need to talk about those things because I'm scared to have those conversations, right? Do I have them? Absolutely. But do I want to make sure my feet are on the ground with God first? Yes. Because a lot of the time what I find is when I come into these situations, I can't quite make sense of them in my broken mind. Because everything I seem to deal with is equal parts emotion and principle, right? There's always a principle involved in the situation that can be addressed. But if I'm emotionally charged, I'm going to ruin it. I'm not going to have that conversation in a way that's going to be effective or that will address the principle, right? So to be able to address the principle on that, it's just like we talk about in here. Principles, not personalities, right? Like when we're in a group conscience setting and we're addressing thing on the basis of a principle, not you. It's not a personality thing. It's about a principle. This is what's right. This is what we agreed upon. It has nothing to do with anybody personally. This is just the principle we're operating under here. Or are we not? Because if we're not, we need to talk about that, right? Because like Mickey said, it's really hard to have a sponsor digging around in your soul or to be sponsoring someone who you're supposed to essentially be doing some work in their soul when given the opportunity and to have any kind of blockage, right? If there's an elephant in the room, right, there just can't be. I mean, I can't count the times that you and I have had to have honest conversations about things that I would have absolutely deemed unnecessary at different points in my life. Just to keep that slate clean. I value the relationship I have with my sponsor and the men that I sponsor enough to be sure that no matter what, we are talking about the truth. Are you mad at me? Let's talk about it. Because I can tell, and you can tell, right? It's not the end of the road here, but let's get it on the table because we're moving forward. We have to be able to move forward beyond that, right? We can't just have this ace up the sleeve where there's leverage in the relationship. It just doesn't work like that for me. And it's hard, though. It's hard, and there's a lot of 10 steps involving things like that, even just with interacting with family members, doing the right thing at work, right? It's always something for me where, you know, yeah, I'm not even going to put this on the tape. I was going to tell a story, but I don't want it on there, so... Yeah, I think that's about it.
So there's we've talked about fellowship of the Spirit, and really what I want to talk about is that last word, Spirit, because what's happening here is we're talking in some cases mechanics here. We can get those mechanics out of the book, but what's really important is it's not. It's like my wife used to drive me crazy. Teaching me how to act. My wife got a degree in special education. She needed it. She married me. She would say over and over, Mickey, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Right? So we're talking about the spirit of what we do. And I can tell you that in my observation, people who practice a regular 10-step, you want to be around them. Because this is a program of attraction. We're going to talk about meditation tomorrow, and that's further down the road with this exact same thing. But it's a spirit. If I am around somebody who does a regular 10-step, I'm attracted to them. Because they're dealing with God all the time. And it's nonverbal, and it's not like we talk about, boy, you seem to be dealing with God all the time. It's not like that. It's like the spirit. Have you ever heard the expression that who you are is shouting so loudly I can't hear what you say? That's it. So what's interesting, and the book talks about it, is that we can win the confidence of a fellow alcoholic in a few minutes. Why? Because I have what you have, and because that Spirit of God is cooking in me, and it reaches out to another fellow human being's spirit. Well, the tenth step is really one of those things that tunes the soul. It really tunes the soul. And I'm working with someone now who's 11 years sober. I don't know how to tell this. They have really gone to 1,000 conferences, okay? It's exaggeration, but many conferences seeking for this deal. And they don't know what they're seeking. They want to come home. They want to come home to their souls and to their God. And it's amazing how much feedback I get from this person about, I love this 10th step so much because I get on the phone, I know exactly what to talk about, how to talk about it, it's economical, and what happens is that we end up bleeding our souls over somebody because we don't know what to say. You know, we're fumbling around, and it's kind of like what you said, you know, you exposed more of your soul, you were like giving away your soul. We don't have to degrade ourselves to make a 10th step. We are a person of integrity. We're a human being. We're just talking about we're having some problems on something. We don't have to make a mess out of ourselves in the process of it. There's no degrading thing in here. There's no punishing step in our program. There's no gotcha. There really is this help for people who are like, okay, I sang in a classical choir for 7 years and I couldn't read music. Marie would do the piano and electronic keyboard, and I'd memorize my part in the choir because I couldn't read those little spots. And now, interestingly, I'm not in the choir and I can read music. You get it when you get it. I make paintings, and I make boots, and I'm colorblind. And I can tell you, I can't name a color. Like, if you were telling me what color is fuchsia, I don't know what color fuchsia is. But I can tell you if a color is red, brown, and blue, I don't know what in the world. If you give me a colorblind test, I can't pass it. We're talking about God in here. We're talking about living higher powered. It's unbelievable the way he can carry us and work through us. One of the ways I can cooperate is to do my 10th step. It's like we have a window in our souls. And you know how a window can look if you don't wash it. It will block the sun. So this 10th step is a way of getting in and cleaning the window. Why? Because I need to be close to the light of God. I need that. Why do I need it? I need it for the transformation that it provides. You know, why do I have brick walls in my life? Why do these terrible things happen? I think there's a book called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? I think a rabbi wrote that book. Well, God speaks in brick walls. We don't have a little disease. It's not like we got a little problem here. We have a life and death issue. If we don't work a program, we're going to miss our lives. That's what's going to happen. We're going to miss our lives. We're not going to know who we are. That's a lot to lose. I failed all of these things in my life. And I wanted to be an artist. And that's Michelangelo. That's Leonardo da Vinci. I can't be Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo, but I am a working artist. That's what I do 6 days a week. I got to be a working artist. So it's like we carry it in our hearts. We carry in our DNA who we are. If you want to really know who you are, if you want to find out who you are, work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't work it to be a great speaker. I've had people say, well, how do I get on the circuit? And I'm saying, how do you get off the circuit? No, it's an honor, but what I'm saying is that's not why we do it. We don't do it to have prestige in our group. I think somebody once said, when you pray, pray in secret, and your Father who is in secret will hear you. Pray in secret. It's an anonymous program. We're another brick in the wall. Go and do your business. I live in a monastery. I work in a shop. You know what I'm saying? I ask God to work through me. That's a little thing. It's a hidden thing. And when Nate was talking about the butterfly, that butterfly has no idea what the hell's going on. That caterpillar, I mean. No idea what's going on. And then they get pulled all apart and we say, what the hell is that? Because we're not trusting God. God works the way God works. Let's just try to put it down here for a second. God is not human. God makes humans. Is it possible that his ways are not our ways? If you ever read the book of Job, it's got hair on it. And I love the book of Job because Job has got all these catastrophes, these horrible things that happens to him. If you ever want to read it, it's phenomenal. But anyway, and finally, Job can't take it anymore and he wants to finally react to God. And he really gets down and he tells God what he thinks of this whole dance. And God listens to him very patiently. And then he asks Job one question. He says, Job, where does the wind come from? Job has no idea where the wind comes from. And he tells him, Job, my ways are as high above your ways as the heavens are above the earth. That's who we're dealing with. And so he's going to make moves in our lives. St. Vincent de Paul said something one time. He said, I shall pass this way but once. Let any good I can do for any person be done now, for I shall not pass this way again. There comes a time in every conference weekend when I have this moment. This moment where I'm joined with you and I don't want to leave you. We're together. You understand? We've come together in this weekend. And I'm going to miss you. I just wanted to be honest with you. This is not something where you go and give it one of these numbers, blah, 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 like, you know, like Charlie Brown Hears Adults. Wah, 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 wah. And you give it that thing. We are together. We're this close to surrendering our lives to God. Go all the way. You know what I mean? And that's where the pleading comes from inside of me. We're face to face. I will pass this way but once. Let's do this thing. Am I making any sense here? There's an urgency to it because of how valuable we are. We matter. We can change the world. We do change the world. So if we're going to work an 11-step program, who knows? Am I having a bad day? For instance, because I'm not doing my nightly review or meditating, or am I having a bad day because I'm supposed to have a bad day? I work my program for an elimination of variables. I want to know that I'm trying to do everything I can. Then if I have a bad day, I accept it from God's hands. Does that make sense? But if I'm leaving two steps out of my program, I might be doing this to myself. So,
and also, I think what Mickey was saying about every step that we have and every tool that we have available to us here is meant to be a constructive piece of the puzzle, not destructive. And I just say that because most of the individuals that I've met in our fellowship and of my kind, meaning alcoholic, we have a real tendency to be extremely hard on ourselves and negative about what it is that's going on.
And hard on each other.
And hard on each other, absolutely. So the fact that I'm coming to the table with flaws doesn't mean that I'm failing, right? In a lot of instances, when I'm exercising my 10-step and bringing these things to the table, the reason I get to look at these things I'm talking about is because I'm working my program, not because I dropped the ball and I'm not. Mm-hmm. and it stings sometimes, right? But the reality is that we can just be so hard on ourselves. And I mean, this, you know, we're talking, this is a serious matter. It's life and death. Of course, we have to be vigilant and locked down. But we also need to keep in mind that God can show us how to be gentle with ourselves in the process. Because that's really important. We're not punching bags any more than anybody else is around us, right? We're all God's children. We all need to, you know, at least from my experience, it's really hard to treat myself as one of God's kids. Really hard on myself. And the 10th step is not meant to be a tool to rip ourselves down. It's meant to build ourselves up, to be our best selves. So I just offer that.
Thank you. And you know, which one of us came into Alcoholics Anonymous to become a man of God or a woman of God? Big surprise. We're either going to become a man of God and a woman of God, or we're not going to suck air. It's like this thing. It's like it's a fabulous disease in that it lashes us to God. That's a pretty good deal. It lashes us to God. And then we get to be angels with dirty faces and go out and do his work. Okay, that's enough, huh? All right, and now we...
Back at
9 o'clock for more thrill-packed adventures in sobriety.